Stories from the Past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers and sisters, and thank you so very much for joining us on today's segment of The Lantern. Contrary to popular belief, especially after certain events that took place by the hands of some extremists during the few last decades, unfortunately, there's this common misconception that Islam is in some form a religion that promotes violence against those who don't see eye to eye with it, that Islam is an intolerant religion that allows the killing and bloodshed of anyone who stands in its way, anyone who doesn't embrace it as the final and most complete religion, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Holy Qur'an, gives us the green light to draw our sword against anyone who doesn't seem to want to listen to our words of preaching, quote-unquote, and accept it as their way of salvation. So today I thought it would be a good idea if we talked about this whole concept of violence versus nonviolence, and how is it in any way, or whether it is it in any way, a resort, a solution for people who claim to be practicing the religion of Islam. Let's listen to a short little story regarding this matter, and we're going to be right back. Stay with us.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salamu alaikum and welcome to this program entitled Lantern. A story about Gandhi. Author Stephen R. Covey. I once heard Gandhi's grandson, Arun Gandhi, share this penetrating insight about his grandfather. All in attendance at his speech were both humbled and electrified. Ironically, if it hadn't been for a racism and prejudice, we may not have had a Gandhi. He may have been just another successful lawyer who had made a lot of money. But because of prejudice in South Africa, he was subjected to humiliation within a week of his arrival. He was thrown off a train because of the color of his skin, and it humiliated him so much that he sat on a platform of the station all night wondering what he could do to gain justice. His first response was one of the anger. He was so angry that he wanted eye for eye justice. He wanted to respond violently to the people who humiliated him. But he stopped himself and said, "That's not right." It was not going to get him justice. It might have made him feel good for a moment, but it wasn't going to get him any justice. The second response was to want to go back to India and live among his own people in dignity. He ruled that out also. He said, "You can't run away from problems. You've got to stay and face the problems." And that's when the third response dawned on him: the response of nonviolent action. From that point onwards, he developed the philosophy of nonviolence and practiced it in his life as well as in his search for justice in South Africa. He ended up staying in that country for 22 years, and then he went and led the movement of India.
Thank you.
the lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story, which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
So Mahatma Gandhi is known as one of the most exceptional contemporary freedom fighters. He is a very prominent character in modern history. I don't think there is a single soul on the face of earth who doesn't know him, or at least, you know, that there was such a movement in India, and there was this wise sage, peaceful little man who was involved with it in some way and changed the course of history, not just for the people of India, but as a role model for peace and non-violence. Ironically enough, however, I have come across a quote attributed to Mahatma Gandhi, and it basically relates the story of how he drew inspiration from Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and in the battle against right and wrong, justice and injustice, good and evil, and how he was inspired by Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam to fight against the sword, to fight against injustice, tyranny, violence, with blood, by not that he used oppression as a tool, rather, even though he was oppressed, seemingly, he was the one who came out victorious and triumphant, because fast forward 300 something years later, it is Imam Hussein alayhi salam's name, which is revered and honored, and it is he who is loved and adored by millions and millions of people across the world. This whole theme of nonviolence isn't really something that is specific to Mahatma Gandhi because of the inspiration he got from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's movement isn't unprecedented in the creed of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And also, it's not one of a kind in the sense that had it been any other imam in that situation, they would have done the same thing. Had Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam been in any other era, and had he been fighting any other tyrant, even one that wasn't as bloodthirsty and cruel as Yazid alayhi la'na, he would have still done the same thing. As a matter of fact, even if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in that situation where a great war was waged against him, and the life of himself and his companions and his family member were threatened, he would have still done the same thing. But I want us to go back and look in the life and time of the Ahlul Bayt and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their reaction toward violence, all those times, all the chances they were allowed to kill someone who hurt them, who violated their rights, who committed some sort of injustice toward them. All the times that the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam had the chance to retaliate and reciprocate in violence, what did they do really? Thank you so very much for being with us on this episode of The Lantern. I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.